Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Anyone else feel like they're talking like this time of year and sneezing and coughing and annoying your family while you're watching TV like I'm sure I do?
Well, yeah, I know that I am because my kids tend to tell me. Luckily for those of us who live with these symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease in as little as a half an hour, by the way. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everybody, have you heard of Instacart? If you have not heard of Instacart, I don't know where you have been living because it saved my life. I don't have to go to the grocery store. I can get my stuff delivered to my house. And if you go to judgingmegan.com/Instacart, you will get $35 off of your first order if you've never ordered before. So I would say get on there right now and skip your trip to the grocery store.
Everyone. So I survived. I made it through my surgery. In case there's any haters out there that weren't hoping I didn't make it through my surgery, which I don't think you'd be listening, but in case, I'm here. I survived. I will tell you, it is never fun. My guest is on right now. I'm going to bring him in a minute, and for my listeners that don't know, I had a giant fibroid removed from my lady parts. Let's put it that way, so I don't gross anyone out. And so I walk into the surgery center. I won't say where, but it's a big hospital in Los Angeles. And I was hoping the next time I got put under was for something like a facelift, a tummy tuck, something like exciting. But no, I had to give birth basically for the third time. And so I'm in this like surgery center and I listen. And so there's like sheets between you and, you know, which was really weird. And then they're prepping you to get ready. It's me, what I'd been taking, right? Because they have the anesthesiologist comes in and he's like, I love your necklace. What does that mean? I'm like, it's an evil eye. And he was like, what is an evil eye? I was like, oh no, this person is putting me under. What do I do? And then they ask me questions like, have you taken it? Like, what is the last, when's the last time you ate? Eight hours ago, last night, like the directions say. What is the last medicine you took? The medicine that my OB-GYN put me on. And I took a vitamin D yesterday and maybe like a probiotic.
then they're like, okay, do you feel, they're asking me all kinds of questions. And then they go to the girl next to me because I could hear through the sheet. And she, this sounds really strange, but you know how when you hear somebody's voice, I'm going to bring Joelle in. Hi, Joelle.
Hello, hello.
I want you to pipe in here, okay. And I'm going to introduce you. Don't worry. But you know how when you hear somebody's voice, but you don't like know what they look like, you just assume that they look a certain way.
Yes.
So they ask this girl all these questions. They're like, what did you take yesterday? Have you eaten? Have you drank? Are you weak? All these questions. And the girl's like, well, I took a probiotic. I took ginkgo biloba. I don't know what she took. She listed like a million things. And then the lady's like, wow, that's a lot of stuff. And she's like, I'm really all about my health. And then the lady goes, and why are you weak? And she's like, I did so many squats yesterday. And so I'm sitting there like so I get through my surgery. This is a long-winded story that's almost over. I get through the surgery and then like I'm drooling, you know, they put me in a corner because of course my husband was late to pick me up and I'm sitting like in a wheelchair drooling and they wheel the girl over next to me. And in my head, she was like this like supermodel, but like they wheel her over. Like I'm not trying to judge somebody's physical appearance, but it was like the complete opposite of the person's voice that I was hearing it through the curtain.
It's just the opposite of what you had imagined. You had imagined
opposite.
Something
like,
coming
I was
out,
picturing.
Like, yes.
Yeah. I was picturing like a Charger, Los Angeles Chargers cheerleader. Like that's what I was picturing.
And then meanwhile, you have like your girlfriend from around the way is like the one that's like, just like getting.
No, it was literally like this person in like that was like wearing a t-shirt that says 9 lives and like had a cat on it with purple, like, big giant like poofy hair and like it was nothing like the complete opposite of what I thought. So I had to share that story because I thought it was so funny that we picture things in our heads by the way we hear someone, right?
Yeah. That you it's think all those that caricatures that we've kind of been imposed to, like, you know, you hear those nuances and voices. You're like, oh yeah, that sounds like some like some 5'4", you know, tiny little human that's like spouting about these health facts. And then you're just like, wait, hold on.
It was the most wild. It was the most wild thing ever. And I was like, wait a minute. I am on drugs from the surgery. Maybe I'm imagining this whole thing. But anyways, everyone, I wanted to introduce my guest, Joelle Carrera. Hi, Joelle.
Hello, hello. Everyone that's listening, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I need to tell everyone that I found Joelle. Somebody sent me a video. Joelle has a million, like tons and tons of followers on TikTok. And this like 40-something-year-old suburban mom in Los Angeles is like, what is the TikTok? Like, I don't understand it. I have an account. Danny, the guy that produces my show, is always like, Megan, you have to post stuff on TikTok. And I don't understand it. It's so confusing. But I saw this video and Joelle is, first of all, drop dead gorgeous, like beautiful human, but also
he's Megan, y'all, if y'all don't know already.
Oh God, I look like poo right now. But his speaking voice is so beautiful. And he posted this video and I was like, must have that human on podcast immediately. And then I reached out and then I didn't hear back because I know you have tons and tons of followers. And then you finally answered me. And so that's how I found you and why you're on today. And I'm just so grateful to meet you. You're physically beautiful, but also I'm going to start the show by saying, follow Joelle on all of the platforms. So it's me, Joelle C is his Instagram and his TikTok, correct?
Yes, you got it. You got it.
And then at the end, we'll promote whatever else you want to talk about. But Joelle is a singer and a musician and just an artist and the king of all TikTokers, which I'm going to hunt you down to teach me how to do those like things where you point. You know what I'm saying? And it's the typed words and you're like pointing at the air. I'm going to stalk you after this. So thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for having me. I'm honored to be on. And even just seeing, you know, some of the other podcasts that you've done. And I just love what you do. So thank you for having me. I'm honored to be on.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so I want to get your backstory. I want to find out all about you. And I know my listeners will love to hear about you too.
Yeah.
A lot of my, I've been doing this over a year. I have a lot of podcasts where I am a very inclusive person. If you know me personally, I joke all the time on the podcast that I'm a gay Jewish man trapped in a woman's body. And we all know that I grew up Roman Catholic. I am not Jewish, but I tend to like really like matzo ball soup and everything that has to do with being Jewish. So I think in a past life, I was a Jewish gay man. And so I consider myself an ally and an advocate for the LGBTQ+. And so it's very, very, very important to me. One of my goals is to always be supportive of the community and to constantly have guests on from all kinds of backgrounds, whether you're gay, trans, I don't care what you are, but I want everybody to be accepting and know that people are all different and we should all be supportive and be and know that everybody should be equal to each other. So,
amen, Megan. You just took us to church, girl.
Sure did. I didn't go to church this weekend. Don't tell my priest. This is my church. So let's start with your story. Where are you from? Let's talk about your early life.
Yeah. Born and raised Philadelphia, PA. So I'm a Philly boy. I love the Phillies. I love my Eagles. Even though we lose a lot, it's okay. I will always root for my home team. But yeah, born and raised in Philly and then, went to Catholic school, you know, for 12 years straight. My parents, they mustered up that sacrifice to do that year in and year out for both me and my older sister. I come from an Afro-Latino family. So we have both like Black and Latin roots, found out that we even have some indigenous in us. And so we were always very culturally aware of ourselves and we were always well aware of, you know, history and how everything worked. Growing up culturally, like I was kind of always torn between, you know, that Americanization that every subsequent generation from a traditional family goes through, right? Like it's always the first people, that first generation that comes over to the U.S. and then like subsequently just gets more and more American sometimes. And that was my kind of upbringing. It was like this thing where I had this very traditional household. But I was so attuned with pop culture and fashion and art and film and music. And, you know, I loved rock and roll and rap and hip hop. And my parents were like, you know, trying to take me back to the island and the motherland with the music that we listened to. So I was glad I was exposed to both because it gave me a really deep and rich understanding and appreciation for both. But then, yeah, grew up in Philly. Eventually we moved to Jersey. My parents decided that was going to be a wonderful idea to move to Jersey. I still went to the same school though. That was like the deal. I was like, we can move to Jersey, but you're driving me to Philly for high school every single day. And they did. My parents are thebomb.com. I kind of went to college for a little bit. Wasn't really for me. Then like, you know, I just kind of worked. I just liked working. I was very independent. And then got into like, I worked at Lush Cosmetics. I've worked everywhere you can imagine. I've worked for AT&T, Sprint, Apple. I've worked for Michael Kors.
You've done all of the artists' odd jobs.
I've served. Yeah. I was a waiter at Olive Garden for a long time.
Oh my God. When I was pregnant, I lived for I've never been there since, but for some reason, I love those breadsticks and salad when I was pregnant.
They're good. Okay. That garlic salt butter thing that they do.
I don't know what
so
it
good.
Is.
It's a little spread they put on top. That's what makes them so good when you get them. They're just,
I know. I just think, I love though that you said, because this is like, I think artistic people come out the way that they are, you know, similar background. I grew up Irish Catholic, a little bit different, went to Catholic school my whole life. But also like, you know, like everyone in my family, I have two sisters and a brother that are still on this planet, and they were really into sports. And I was like, I came out with like a stage name at age 3. And my parents were like, what is wrong with her?
So you like, really are a gay man trapped in that body.
I am 100%. My name is Joanna. That was my name. I don't know why. But I love that, you know, we just know as humans, like that there's something, especially people that are artistic. Yeah. We just come out that way. Right. Yeah.
Isn't it true? It's so odd. It's like that, you know, don't get me. My mom and dad were both athletes. My mom was like on the track team. My dad was on the basketball team. Like, meanwhile, like with me, it was just art. For me, I was obsessed with video games, art, things that were visual, yeah, things that were like stimulating to me. And sports was never just, it never became one of them. I like sports now because it's a social thing. You know, we go with friends, you go to games, that type of thing. But yeah, I would say like around probably like 15 years old or so, 16 years old. That's when like I started to kind of come to terms with all the slurs I was getting called throughout, you know, grade school.
Were you teased, Joelle, as a kid? Okay. Yeah.
So I did go to a predominantly white school, and I know that people, you know, can get apprehensive when race comes up and stuff, but I did go to a
no, I talk white about race all the time because it's okay. It's okay. Very, no, very important.
I never want people
and
to.
It's also important. It's also important for my listeners to hear.
Yeah.
Like what it's like for somebody that is a little bit darker skinned to go to an all white school. I mean, this is where the more we have conversations about race and differences, the more I think inclusive and accepting people will be.
Yeah. And awareness is key. I think, you know, like how many times have you heard a conversation that was insightful and then you ended up almost repeating that same thing every time, you know, that situation or that thought came up. I think that, you know, you plant seeds and you hope that they grow. But thank you. No, that's awesome. But yeah, I you know, I did get teased relentlessly, both for sexuality, for skin color. You know, I got called things that like I've never even heard before, you know, and even racial slurs that didn't even apply to me. You know, I was called, you know, people, I know I look very ethnically ambiguous to people. So I think people have a hard time placing where my ethnicity is from. So they would sometimes just say whatever and hope that it would stick. But I'm a Philly kid. I'm a city boy. So like I can take a licking and keep on sticking. You know what I mean? Like I'm good.
Did you, I mean, the bullying of kids, I mean, a lot of my guests that have been on and talked about like coming out or whatever, they have talked about how those feelings have stuck with them into adulthood. I mean, I was teased as a kid for being different. I went through a period from like fourth to sixth grade where I was teased and kind of like chubby and not, and like went through my awkward stage. And then I came out a butterfly and look at me now.
Yes. Look at you. So, you're having guests on podcasts now. People listen to you. They want to listen to you.
But I will admit like that has always stuck with me. Like the way that we're brought up, no matter what our backgrounds are, to be judged for being different or whatever it be, or physically judged for what we look like or what we're into, it does stick with us.
It does.
So tell me about that. So you like you were teased and you kind of like didn't let it bother you, or how did you deal with it?
No, it did. Oh my God. I'd be lying if I said that it didn't at first. Yeah. I'm at peace with it now. For the most part, it's funny that you mentioned that it does linger, and it's hard to quote Ani DeFranco because I love her. She says to loosen the moment.
Oh, I love Ani DeFranco.
Oh, she's amazing. She's one of my muses.
Close your eyes,
I love her.
And get closer.
She's so amazing. And she always says this one line in a poem where she goes, loosen the momentum of my teenage nightmares. And that is such a line that reverberates to this day, because for me, it's about loosening the momentum of what has stuck onto you from that. So, yeah, during that time, like pretty much from, I would say, like fourth grade all the way up until maybe like age 15. I had pretty intense suicidal thoughts, and it took a lot of support from my older sister. I love her. I always talk about her this way. I always say she saved my life. If it was not for my sister allowing me to have hope in family, because, you know, family is always oftentimes the ones that take it the hardest, you know, when you're coming out and when all of that's happening. And I didn't even really come out until I was 15 and I was technically forced out. I didn't really come out. It was like mom was snooping through things. And then she was like, hey, the way that you're really friendly with this guy. And before you know it, it was kind of like cover blown. So yeah, that was, if I'm being blunt, it was probably the darkest moments of my life. And when it comes to traditional households, talking about, I remember telling my mom, like, mom, I'm depressed. Like, I'm depressed. Like, I said it point blank, I am depressed. And I was told, everyone gets depressed. You just got to pray. You have to surrender your soul to God. And that's where you'll find peace. And it was just so insane because, like, there's such a layer of complexity with queerness and then just deflecting onto religion, right? Because, like, it doesn't want me. It's telling me that I, like, it's adding to what I am feeling. It's not conducive to me. Me and my mom are leagues from that day. We are in an excellent place. She's actually one of those people that does not believe any gay person is going to hell unless they're just a bad person.
And also it's so common, sorry to talk over you, that like so many, I mean, I would say I don't really have one gay friend that didn't have like that. Maybe I have one that's family was like, welcome and like accepting right away, you know?
Yes.
And as far as your mom goes, it's a taught behavior of an older generation that was not taught to and educated on how to deal with depression. And a lot of times, especially with men, you're supposed to push down depression and not talk about it. And then add on the additional layer of holding in this dark secret that you've been told growing up Catholic, which I talk about a lot, that it's, there's something wrong with you. Yeah. This is a sin. You're going to hell. All the things that we're told, you know, if someone is gay.
Yeah.
So that pain, I mean, I know that I'm a straight white woman and I have Catholic guilt, you know, even thinking about sex and I'm married to my husband and it stays with you. So it's so common. And also just so you know, and I've talked about this before, I don't think I have one friend of mine that has come out that has not thought about killing themselves.
Yeah. The thing that people don't understand about, I think a lot of people are so, they think that the idea of normalizing gender expression at a younger age is very radical. And I understand that you may think that that's radical, but you also have to understand that on the flip side of not being validated of those emotions, and not letting that individual, because that's a human, it's a human being. They're formulating an identity, you know, that's what we do as humans. We live, we experience, and then by proxy, we mold and formulate who we are. And on the flip side of not validating and not letting people like express freely, you have this this pigeonholing, and you kind of silo everyone into this box where they feel like they can't talk. And then you have like higher suicide rates. You have, you know, things are it's domino affecting. And I'm a big advocate, and I know that I hear a lot of people have a hard time grasping like gender expression. Now I know that's like pretty much the hot buzz, you know, queer issue right now. Cause us gays, we got our marriage, you know what I mean? And we're kind of like, we're off here now. But now there's deeper things to dive into with queerness. I think that that's the important thing about, you know, when you're young, to give a mic to that person to speak. Like these are their kids. Like they don't have the mental fortitude that, hell, some adults don't even have the mental fortitude to get through these types of things. So I just kind of feel like a lot of empathy goes a long way in those scenarios. I am with you 100%. Catholic guilt or even just faith guilt. I don't think it's exclusive to Catholicism. I think that it's something that people who have traditional families or very traditional or regimented or reverent religions, that's what's going to happen with them. You know, it's a very black or white world, and you don't want to disappoint mom and dad, and you don't want to disappoint a power that you don't know whether it's going to actually smite you or not. You know, like it's, you're caught in a very delicate place mentally. So, yeah,
it's so true. And then also on top of that, you're like, I like we being taught like whatever your religion and Christianity, like I just have to be on this earth. I'm a soul. I want to like I'm my purpose is to like be here, be a good person and then go to heaven.
Right.
Well, I've talked about this all the pretty much every podcast that we're souls, we're put here for a test.
Yeah.
And we're all different. And like, as we both know, my God, your God, I'm sure if you believe in, still believe in God, like there's a reason why we're all different. And we were born this way, not to quote Lady
Gaga. No, it's just, listen, she knew what she was doing when she named that song. Okay. Yeah. She was like, people say this regularly. So I'm just going to, I'm going to hashtag this. I'm 100% agree. 100%.
Well, okay. So then you come out not on purpose at 15.
Yeah.
And that was difficult.
Yeah. I would say like at that point, I would say that like my depression hit its peak. And I know that this is going to sound very aggressive, but times have changed again. Me and my mama, we are good now, but I was grounded for years after that. So like I was 15 and I had two like female best friends and she literally like banned me from ever seeing them and ever doing anything except pretty much just going to work. And I worked at Circuit City at the time when I was 15. And
you did have all kinds of jobs.
I really did, bro. I really did. Now, I mean, she could know this now because I'm a grown ass man, but
yeah.
But I actually used to survival tactic. I used to like tell my mom I was working on days I wasn't working and I would literally get dropped off at work, but I would have my friends pick me up from work and then I'd go out with them for the day and then like have them drop me off.
Thank God you did that though, because you had to find like your own survival.
If I didn't, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be here because like I felt so alone. You cannot do that to someone like that, you know? And again, we've rectified, me and my mama. I love her to death. But that was a tough, tough time for us. If there was ever a time that me and her were probably most divided, it was at that time in our lives. And she was the parent that I was closest to, which was like twice as devastating, you know? Like it's always, they always say, right, like mama's little boy, daddy's little girl. Mm-hmm. It's always like the relationship dynamic that naturally plays out for the most part. And that was just rough. Like, you know, I adored, and my mom was like my goddess, you know, like I loved her. I mean, I still do. But like at that time, it's like, damn, like you occupy probably the most vulnerable space in my spirit right now. And to hear you and see you act this way really, really sucks. And so, you know, self-preservation, right? You kind of build a cocoon around your heart to make sure like, hey, listen, you know, unless you don't want me to hate you, I gotta do some like, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder type of thing here.
And I feel like too, it's like, I hate to say, like, it's like I just touched on a little while ago, it's not her fault. It is a learned behavior.
Yes,
but it is like, if you were close to that parent, it's like you lived in their body, you know, it's just, I'm a mom. So I'm like, but I also understand being a parent that you just want what's best for your kids. Exactly. And so there's
no manual. And that's why it took a long time for me to not be angry anymore. It took a long time. Therapy. I did go to therapy, obviously.
I talk about therapy. Therapy saved my life. You know, Joelle, I was, just so you know, I was also suicidal several years ago and got to the worst place of my life and pulled myself out. And my therapist helped save me. And I think that the more people we get in, I mean, our world it's psychotic right now. Oh. The more people we get into therapy, the better off we'll be, you know?
I totally agree with you, Megan. I totally agree.
So did your mom end up going to therapy or like, I mean, I don't want to jump ahead.
No, it's okay. Girl, you jump wherever you please. This is your show. She did. I think this, you know, the stuff hit the fan when it was junior year of high school. And oh my God, this sounds so weird to even say, but I had failed religion. like I was going to Catholic and I failed religion class. So
How do you fail religion?
That is the if I got a dollar for every time I was rebutted with that question, they were just like, how? Like how you went to school?
That was even I did well in religion. I was the worst.
It was my whole thing was that like my depression got me to things that I just wouldn't do homework and like things like assignments were weighed heavily, and then all of a sudden like I wasn't turning anything in. So I had to go to summer school for religion, but I remember being terrified to tell my mom. And I asked, shout out to Miss Abernathy. I don't know if you're still around, girl, but shout out to you, Miss Abernathy. she was the head of guidance at the time. And she called my mom in and she just like sat her down in a chair. And I sat behind my mom, which was so weird because usually they like sit you side by side. But in this particular situation, they made me sit behind her. Mm-hmm. And almost like she was the student. It was very interesting. And then they were just like, so, you know, here's where we're at. Joelle's going to have to go to summer school for religion or for theology. That's the proper term, right? But I also want to touch on something else because he's made it abundantly clear that there are struggles going on in his life. He's gay. Like, here's my Catholic school guidance counselor going, he's gay. He's gay. Nothing's going to change that.
And I love Mrs. Abernathy.
I know. And
I can already tell I would love her.
And the tears just came out of my mom's eyes. Like, my mom didn't scream, didn't fight. It was just a thing where I think she had to succumb to a realization of, this isn't a me thing. I have to respect what's at will here. Like, there is something bigger than me at play here. And I think she realized that. My mom is very big on like God's will, right? So like I think she realized in that moment, this is beyond my control. Like this is what I'm being told. And I think she kind of realized, okay, this is my path. This is my journey. And it wasn't an argument. My mom actually even hid the fact that I had to go to summer school from my dad because my dad would have flipped. And she hid it from my, so my dad, God rest his soul, he went to the grave. He never knew I went to summer school for theology. That was just kind of like, that was the beginning of a turning point. And then my mom, and this is where my mom, she really rectified the situation on her end. She went and had conversations with people. She sought out conversations. She sought out guidance from close family friends who had queer friends, who had gay friends, and who she knew. And she wanted to get an adult, unbiased perspective, help me out here. And all those like family friends, as I grew older and, you know, and I was old enough to know these things, they were like, I want you to know your mom came to me and talked to me during that time. And hearing that my mom did that, my mom never told me she did that. But it was just what one does when they really care to understand their kid at that point. I think at that point, you know, reality hit her. There is work I need to do here. I'm not perfect. And in order for me to have a good relationship with my son, something has to give here. I know that that is not a story that not many people get to say. And I don't want to get emotional because like, I'm so proud of how
get emotional. I mean, I'm emotional.
I'm so proud of how
I cry every podcast. Yeah.
And I just adore my family. I love them. And we've just grown so much. We've been through so much too. So all's well that ends well. It does get better. Even if your mom is or is not in the picture or your parents are or aren't in the picture, it will always get better. I have never had a situation play out in anybody's who I know's life that it just didn't get better in some capacity. And I'm really glad that my sister created a safe space for me to just talk. She never judged me. She made me feel so valid and so sane. And I would not be here talking to you, Megan, if it were not for my sister, because I would have totally justified going through with the thoughts that I was having at the time.
Yeah. And the thing is like to go back to your teacher and your mom, that was like a moment, I'm sure, where your mom was like already like, how did this, I have to fix him. This can't happen. And to have a teacher, especially in a Catholic school, come out and just be like, this is like your child is gay.
Yeah.
And your mom was probably like, what? Like she was probably like needed to hear somebody tell her that. And yeah. so she could get to the place where she needed to be
yes.
to do the work and ask the questions and get to where she is today. And thank God you had your sister. Like you said, we all have like, I believe people that are like you, I lost my dad when I was 13 to cancer. And my best friend, I met the very next day. And she was my savior. She passed when I was in my late 20s.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot. But she was my, like your sister, she was like my person that I would be like, you know, like she saved me in a lot of ways. And if I wouldn't have had her, I don't know how I would have gone through those like years of like my teen years, especially. So I believe yeah. like a lot of times, like you say, we're supposed to go through these kinds of things to get to the place where we're supposed to be right now. And we can get through everything. And I talk about that all the time. Like life is a series of challenges and tests, and it's
yes.
peaks and valleys and all the things that they say.
Yes.
And, yes. And that's how like life is. If it was easy, like, you know, it wouldn't be life.
Yes, it wouldn't be life. And I think that we wouldn't have purpose. I know that that sounds mm-hmm. really almost like cynical to say, but genuinely the human condition and the human dynamic is built off of curiosity, experimentation, experience, living, being inspired, being hurt, learning, pain. All of that is all a part of that wheel that keeps that bus going in life, right?
Yeah.
If we don't have those dips and valleys and all of that, life becomes a very mundane, repetitive record and nothing is exciting. And I hate to say it, but usually when I hear people that are adults talk about their depression, oftentimes that is where their train of thinking is at. It's at a place where I don't have anything else. Like it's just a giant shrug to them. And that's when I get the most worried, is when things become a shrug to people. That means that the importance of, you know, of certain elements in your life is missing. We got to get you yeah, reinvigorated, you know,
and you have to, there has to be people, more people. Like, I think part of the reason, not to like get back on my soapbox, but part of the reason why we have so many issues in our society, specifically the United States, I'll talk about right now, yeah. is because I think there has been so much divisiveness and anger, and the way that people are brought up and told that things are wrong, and, you know, it drilled into people's heads. And we have such an issue in our country with mental illness, and, you know, nobody, just like it continues to like worsen and worsen, and nothing's being done. And I think the more people that step up like you and say like, this is me, this is my story, this is my authentic self, this is what I went through, I was depressed, I was suicidal, the better off we'll be. And then it's just like this little seed that will build, I hope, rather than the sea of like anger and like, you know, people attacking each other, because what it really comes down to is not understanding and being threatened. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would say that for sure. That's, I think, at the very top of that pyramid, right? Of a social dynamic. I think right below it is that we've also dawned an era of, if a person likes my status, I'm right. And someone agrees with me. And I think it's also a thing where we feel very emboldened to find solidarity, even in situations where education might have not been sought out. We just live in a day and age where social media has validated us to extents that we probably shouldn't be validated. You know, the fact that people can go viral for very bigoted statements and very hurtful and harmful statements. I've seen them on TikTok. I've seen them go viral with 300,000 plus likes and so many comments and people clowning, you know, the people that's making fun of. And I just, you know, that's the thing. We live in this day and age where we can develop a community with anything, unfortunately. And fortunately and unfortunately, it's a dual-sided coin. You can find it's a crazy thing
because on one side of the coin, social media has brought, like, for you, like, you have millions of likes on TikTok, right? And there's all these people that are like, I love what you're doing. You're beautiful. Mm-hmm. You are the way that you are.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that are coming in, don't understand, we're taught a certain way, I think are like, there's a reason why they're so angry. So, like, this is not the norm.
It's how dare you be so unapologetically and unforgivingly yourself and so comfortable about it. Like, who do you think you are? And that's the thing. Like, people, they have a hard time with nerve. You know what I mean? And I feel like women, especially women, really get that. You know what I mean? The moment that a woman becomes assertive, the narrative behind that woman can change instantaneously just because of the simple fact that how people just expect women to be docile and just like obedient, you know, like that type of, you know what I mean? So
I think that what it stems from too is like being like, I've been pushed down a lot of my life, like, especially like in recent years, women can be very mean to other women. I've talked about this before. And you know, there's all these factors that go into like, you know, being, you know, having a certain thing, looking a certain way, whatever it is. When I finally got to the point, probably like you, where I went, you know what? I have freaking nothing to lose anymore. I don't give two F's what you think of me. I'm finally free. I'm going to take what I believe I'm supposed to be doing with my life and help other people. You don't have to like me. I don't care. Like, I'm doing something I love to do.
And aren't you?
And I think like, yeah. And then, and now I love it. And now, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I still suffer from like my bad days and my depression and my anxiety because I'm human.
Yes.
But I also am like, I get to like meet freaking rock star people like you and people like you and I, and a lot of my guests that I have on have like these hearts and these missions in life where they're supposed to talk about their stories and their trauma to try and better like things. So I try to think of social media as, yes, I hate it. Yes, like I'm terrified of what my two little girls are running into. I don't allow them to be on it. One's 11, one's 7. But I also like through social media have like connected with kids from third grade, people that, you know, there's so many great things about it, but then there's just so many horrible things about it too. It's a crazy thing.
And that's when I say, you know, the answer is always in the intention. Always remind yourself to just be the change that you want to see. You know, when I see that things are getting a little hasty and, or I'm getting hate because that happens, you know, I'm a guy that does makeup. So of course I'm going to get tons of hate. You know, when that happens, I just remind myself that like people will always have something to say.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So I kind of skipped ahead like your story of high school and like coming out. But I want to talk about like, so you finally, like, let's go back a little bit and talk about like how you got to the place that you're in now.
Yeah.
You're still very young. You're like literally like, I don't know why Paul Rudd was on the cover of People's Sexiest Man Alive because it should have been you.
You are way too sweet because Paul Rudd.
You're gorge. And I'm a married woman, but you really are. And you're gorge like in the different way. Like I've seen you with no makeup and makeup. And it's pretty,
you are the
it's pretty
sweetest.
Amazing how great you look you. Both ways.
Thank you.
So let's talk about like what, how you like got through. Did you stayed in college? You worked at Olive Garden, all of the different odd jobs that you did.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to share with me like how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So, I went to college for 2 years. It wasn't for me. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go into working, worked at, you heard the barrage of places I worked at. I actually jumped into my first relationship when I was 20 years old. And then I was in that relationship for 5 years. And I lived with that person. I am still friends with that person, even though like we're no longer together. And I know them and their current partner love them to pieces. And I would say like during my 20s, it was kind of an odd thing, right? Because like usually in your early 20s, a lot of people are not locked into a long-term relationship. But during that time, since I lived with him, it allowed me a lot of time to like experiment with different things. So I got to like recording more music when I was living alone with him. And then I started to like learn about makeup, but I never really got into it. And then we had broken up and I had moved back in with my parents. And then about 3 months into me being back home with my parents, maybe 4 months being back home with my parents, that's when dad passed away.
How did your dad pass, if you don't mind me asking?
It was like a heart situation.
Okay.
He had like a defibrillator and AFib machine. Like it was both of them it was like the pacemaker and the defibrillator at the same time in the heart. It was supposed to be a system that like notified the hospital if like anything went wrong. And well, something went wrong. It actually happened on my parents' anniversary, sadly. And no, it's totally fine. If anything,
was he sick? Was he sick for a while, or was it just something?
Yeah, he had like a certain. Yeah, he had like so many health issues. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he was a welder, and so he had like herniated discs and crushed discs in his back. And then he was like teaching music, you know, like to give himself like purpose because he was the breadwinner, and you know how that is. Like to go from breadwinner to like not being able to work is devastating on the mental. But yeah, he ended up having like an episode and, the hospital didn't even know. Crazily, the hospital called us like 3 months after he passed away saying like, hey, his machine isn't giving us a reading. And we were like, yeah, it's because he's been dead for a couple months now. Thanks.
No.
Yeah. It was actually there was a lot, that went on emotionally for us during that time. But at that time, then I was like in this era of like, you know, mom was alone at home now and I was living with him and there was a whole house and like I worked full time, she worked full time and then like taking care of the house. It started to not for anything, almost put strainers back on me and mom's relationship because now you have like, you know, you have a grieving mom who just lost her husband and now I'm the only other male in the household. So it was kind of this thing where it kind of gave her a lot of time to focus on me when I don't really need to be focused on.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was a little, there was an adjustment period there and I didn't feel comfortable leaving right away. You know, you don't want to just leave your mom like that. And once, probably like 3 years later, obviously a while later, she ends up going like, hey, I got a job offer in New Mexico. Would you be okay if I did that? I'm like, do it, go for it. And then like literally the very next day I was already apartment hunting and by December I was already out. Like, and then she moved to New Mexico, my sister moved to Austin because my sister was in DC before. And yeah, like then quarantine happened and
oh my gosh, so this is pretty recent.
Yeah, this is literally, yeah, like my dad passed away 5 years ago. It'll be 6 years this coming, actually no, it was 6 years ago. Right? 2015. Yeah. So it was 6 years ago this year. So yeah, it was very, very recent. I've lived here now in this apartment for 3 or 4 years now. So literally it was like, you know, soon after he passed, it just kind of happened very quickly. And just being bored in quarantine, I started doing makeup. I always was practicing. I tried to do drag for a little bit.
Wait a second. You just started doing makeup in quarantine?
The way that, as seriously as you see me doing like the full glam looks and everything, I started doing that in 2020.
Okay, you got everyone. You need to look at his Instagram. It's amazing. If I lived there, I would be like, can you do my makeup?
Oh, girl, like, if you're ever here, if you're ever in New York, if you're ever in DC, you're
talented.
Philly.
That's, and you could, by the way, do drag. Thank you're gorgeous.
I so would. You, it's just a little.
Did
too
you do it?
It's a little too. I got my taste of it when I befriended pretty much every drag performer in Philadelphia, and just the dynamic of like the cattiness and the, you know, the shadiness. I'm not about that life because I'm a city boy and I'm very much like, what did you just say? Like I'm very, you know what I mean? I'm very like, I'm not super confrontational, but I'm like, I'm not gonna let you like disrespect me. So they can get very, very particular. And I'm not about that vibe. I like my peace. I like, you know,
There's drama. And also
my art is not something that, like, people who make the same art, I don't know if how I would take to them being so brash about it. Because when I hear other queens talk about other queens' drag, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you would not appreciate someone talking about your stuff like this. And so, yeah, that's the only reason I don't do it. But I go and support all of my drag and burlesque performers. I love them. I adore them. I will always support them.
I love watching drag. It's like when I'm actually for my birthday. Several of my friends and I are going to Hamburger Mary's, which is like,
oh my God, yes, in LA.
In West absolutely. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a friend from acting class years ago when I was still acting that is a pretty big performer now. So I'm going to go see them perform. But I can tell there's a lot of like drama and like cattiness. And
yes.
I can see that.
And if you're a person that like me, I'm just a no drama person.
Yeah.
And even when I like go and hang out with my drag and burlesque performer friends, I always have to like remind myself, like, don't get too emotionally invested in these stories. They're stories about people that, you know, it's a thing where like, it's kind of like, oh, you won't believe. And, oh, and girl. And yeah, I'm
way too chill for that. But it looks so fun. Like, I would love to do a drag, but I'm like, I would have to be like Victor Victoria. And I don't want to do like drag where I'm a man. I want to be like, you know,
you can.
I want to be like Barbara Streisand or do something.
Who said you can? You absolutely can.
In my next life, maybe.
There's many terms for that. There's people who call that like hyper queens. Okay. There's some people who I believe it's not the proper term. Some people call it bio queen because it's supposed to be like biological female queen type of, you know, but I think the main thing is hyper queen. I think it's supposed to be this thing of just like highly, highly feminized.
Well, I know I can lip sing really well.
I feel like I'm
at some point going to get out on stage and do it.
You can't. You're doing it now. This is you stepping out on stage.
I do. I will have to send you video because I did perform at one point with two performers and I was pretty proud of my performance.
I need to see this. Please do.
Okay. So then I'm still in shock by the fact that you just started doing that during quarantine. It's amazing how quickly people can evolve to talent. You just had it and didn't know that you had it, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, and when I went to like Arcadia University, that's when I went to college. I did study like graphic arts and I was acclimated with visual arts. Like I did go to art classes in high school and stuff like that. And I'm good at visual arts, but makeup for me was always this very disconnected thing where like I never could understand why people were so into it and why it was such a big deal. But then I don't know how it got a hold of me the way that it did. And, you know, I'm gay. So naturally shiny and sparkly things just kind of like appeal to me. And
hello, me too. That's why I'm a gay man trapped in a woman's body.
And before you know it, we're here.
Okay. So let me ask. So then how did you get on to the TikTok? I'm joking. I want to make myself even older. How did you like get to this like superstardom on TikTok? Just did this all happen during quarantine?
Yeah, this literally. So I actually was posting before quarantine. I think I posted my first TikTok like in April or like March or something like that. It was very basic and nothing. I didn't gain any like nothing like really blew up. Nothing blew up until I think it was like June. I think it was June because I think it was around Pride and I had done a rainbow eye look and I had put rhinestones all over it and I had lip synced to that. I'm assuming you've watched Mean Girls.
First I have.
So the scene where the scene where Lindsay Lohan's character goes and she's like, is there alcohol in this? And then she goes, oh, God, honey, no. But if you would like some, I would prefer that you do it in the house. That little
I feel like I saw this video.
OK, I have it pinned in my profile.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it. It's amazing.
So at the time I was, you know, doing Zoom hangouts with my friends because, you know, we were quarantined and I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race via Zoom with my friends. And I had posted that TikTok, closed the app, put my phone away, watched Drag Race, kikied with my friends, went to bed. And then the next morning I opened up TikTok and, you know, the little like activity banner, you know, like it showed like Instagram, it like tells you like, oh, you got this many likes and this many comments. So like that little thing popped up and that little banner went across like the entire bottom. And it had like 40, it had like for the follower icon, it was like 43,000 something. And then I actually thought something crazy happened. Like I got hacked or canceled or something wild I thought happened. I go on my page and it showed me that I in fact did have 40,000 followers overnight. And so many comments, so many likes, and like within like a week it had 3 million views, that video, and then like 500,000 likes. I had never in my life experienced anything like that. The only thing that was close that I had experienced to that point was that Morphe, the cosmetics company, they had reposted one of my pictures on their Instagram. And yes, that was only like a couple months into me doing makeup. So like, you know, that was like the biggest thing that ever happened, but that wasn't anything crazy. But this was wild. And I had never had it. And people were just like, oh my God, this is hilarious. This is gold. And I didn't even want to post. I was like, what do I do now? Like once you do a post like
that. Yeah, because like, then you're like, oh my gosh, I have this post. What like then what is the next post? You're like, right. Hi, it's and that's me, the thing, Joelle. Right?
It's a 9-second post and it doesn't give me much insight into what people actually liked about it. Like, was it the makeup? Was it the fact that it's Mean Girls? Was it the fact that it's like me acting it out? Like, what was it that you guys all liked about this?
Well, I can tell you me personally why I liked it, which this is just me personally and why, like I said, like a weird, crazy lady stalker, I found your profile and like you have a beautiful voice. It's like spoken word that you do. And then you're physically beautiful, but then you also have the acting ability where I see a lot of people try to do these like voiceovers on the old TikTok and they're like, they're not good. They're, you know, you're kind of like, oh, okay. And everybody and their mother is on there, including myself, who I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to do anything. So I really am going to be like, Joelle, help me.
We all learn somehow. I will gladly help you, girl. Gladly.
It's like, it's so confusing to me. And then there's also like, my next question for you is, once you got all that, like that, those accolades and all the praise, they're like, I'm having a doctor actually come on my next episode to talk about what Instagram and Facebook do to teenagers, but also what it does to our brains. So I know personally, like, I obviously don't have even a quarter as many followers as you do, but I'm talking about on Instagram, but I have gotten hate before. And I'm like, why are you being mean to me? Like, I don't understand it. And it does kind of like mess with my head a little bit.
How do I deal with that?
Yeah. How do you do that? And how did you get to the place where you were like, when you had all of that praise, were you like, oh my gosh, in your brain, like I have to keep going. And it's like an addiction. What happened then?
Definitely. Like the first thing was like nervousness because it was like, what do I do now? Like I was like, all these people just subscribe to my content. And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell to make for them. And like, I was just being stupid. But here's the thing about me. I'm a bit of a rare millennial that even though I'm a social media influencer and all of that, I am so disconnected from my phone. If you notice, this entire time, I have not even looked at my watch. I've just been here. I have not looked at my phone. I don't even know where my phone is, actually, now that we're talking. And I'm just like, I've always been that person. I've never liked being disconnected from reality. I've always liked being present and in the moment. That's just who I naturally am. It's not like a flex. It's not something that I taught my, it's just naturally, I've just been about me just doing what I like doing. So at first it was a freak out, but then I remembered like you were literally just being stupid and yourself, and you were literally not thinking about this. You need to continue to not think about this. So, and that's what I did. And then before you knew it, a second one went viral and a third one went viral. And now to the point where like it truly doesn't even faze me. If a video does well, I'm happy because it gets me to a more people that maybe didn't see me before, but I don't define my success based on likes, comments, shares, or notoriety. My purpose is never derivative of anything that could be as fleeting as a social media platform. And that's always a constant thing I remain. So that's number one. Number two, I keep friends around me that are even less involved with social media than I am. And those people are the people that will remind me if for some reason I start to get into a place where I'm like, oh, I had to do that sponsored post. Oh my God, I'm so behind on these posts. They'll sit there and they'll be like, it'll get done. Mm-hmm. It'll get done.
You make a living off of it now too. So there's money involved, right?
Yeah, I have a day job. I don't make that much, but like it's allowed me, like right now, it's just allowed me to pay off some of my debt. You know, like I had credit card debt, student loan debt, and now I have a car note because my car broke down. So now I have that. So it's like, so it just allows me some financial relief so that like my salary is not going all to, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And it helps offset the cost of makeup because, you know, makeup is extremely expensive. So it helps, you know, to offset it, you know, especially when I'm sent things, it helps because I'm able to kind of share with my audience things. But yeah, keeping people around.
I just started getting sent things. It's really fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Isn't it? You're like, oh my God, thank you.
Especially if you're a person who's humble, it's even more humbling when that happens. Because when I receive things, I feel very blessed. I'm like, to think that like literally 2 years ago, none of these makeup companies even knew who the hell I was. And the fact that like they reached out and they're like, hey, we'd love to add you to PR. We want to send you products. Like, these types of things like that warms my heart because that's you believing in my artistry. And that, you know, that's awesome. You know, that's a great feeling. That's awesome.
But what do you see long term? Like, where do you see yourself like 5 years from now? Like how, because we don't really know like where TikTok's going to go.
Right,
we don't know.
Right. It could be taken away tomorrow, future. Pro, you know. And that's why I say make your purpose derivative off of these things for that reason.
100%.
You know,
but what I see too, and I love what you're saying, is I'm a huge fan of Jeff Lewis. I don't know if you know, like I listen to him every day. He makes me laugh so hard. And he had these two TikTokers on, and they're a gay couple. And I could tell, like, they're like, we bought this like mansion in the valley, and like they're very, very handsome and young. I can't remember their names, but it was like everything was about their TikTok, and you could tell. And the difference between like what you're saying is like this is not your sole purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And the other difference is like hopefully my listeners, and they will follow you, you'll see that it's like positive messages, which is what I love. And I personally, like, I'm the lady on social media that will like hit the weird Facebook things where it's like holding up the signs and you're like, that is fake. That is not real.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, but yes. I love anything.
Copy paste drive me crazy.
They're all so bad. They're like, the acting is like horrible. And you know, but some like old lady in a nursing home is watching that being like, what? He didn't know that he was adopted. Like, you know, they're seeing all the signs.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But where? So sorry for the long winded question, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, what I ideally would love is to have a solid platform or a following where like my dream thing is to, I've always like, this, what we're doing here, this conversating and having open dialogue about things that maybe scare a lot of people to dive into conversation, or maybe they get defensive, you know, like certain, you know, people sometimes shy away from conversations because of that. I would love to have something where it's like a red table talk where I have all walks of life come on. They tell their story. But then I glam them up afterwards. Like, I don't know, something about taking
can
like,
I come on?
Oh yes, of course. Absolutely. I'm telling you, if you're ever in New York or Philly or Jersey or just in the tri-state area.
Or you need to come out to LA.
Or that. Actually, I'm going to San Francisco in December.
Okay. You could make a little trip to West Hollywood
I can try and make that happen, you know, that little trek. You know, maybe jump on the train and
we could
and
go to there. The Abbey. We could go to Hamburger Mary's.
Right. Yeah. I am totally, totally game for that. And that's what I would love is to, for people, like, especially, I know it sounds kind of weird, but like, especially abuse victims, mental health survivors, abuse survivors, anything like that, cancer survivors, even anything, that you just have a story where, like, people who may be exasperated from hope from your same journey would really benefit from hearing. And because I love the Red Table Talks, I think that there's something really vulnerable and insightful about them, just like this conversation. So I would love to have that where it's an element of music, socializing, and also just like this, like, Oprah, Jada Pinkett, you know, moment. So I would love to be a talk show host.
By the way, I see it for you. I don't usually like find people on social media and go, I need to talk to that person. That's real. Honestly, I mean, I've been doing this over a year. You have that. I can tell you have that special something about you. And let me tell you a little secret, like a year and a half ago or whenever it was, where I was like, you know what? I want to start a podcast. I think that I have something to say. I didn't like think five people would want to listen to me. And then it's like, my platform sounds similar to what you want to do, where it's all about like helping people like trauma and doing the right thing. And I think I would watch your show. You're gorgeous. You're well spoken.
Thank you so much.
I love the makeup element. I see like really big things for you, Joelle. I really do.
I hope so. Like, and if it's meant to be, I trust that it in fact will be. You know, I will do whatever I feel in my spirit to make sure that happens for myself. But either which way, not to sound pessimistic, but even if it doesn't happen, I am a very happy person with things like this, where I get to literally just talk with people whom I never would have met had it not been for literally makeup, social media, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you. That is immensely sweet and immensely validating. So thank you so much.
Well, I loved meeting you, and I knew there was a reason I was supposed to talk to you today. I wasn't like feeling my like 100% self because I just had that surgery, but I literally was like, so I told Danny, I was so looking forward to meeting and talking to you. I can just tell you're this amazing spirit and we were supposed to meet. And don't worry, I really will hit you up to help me with TikTok.
Yes, no, really. Please do not shy away from it. Like, you're seriously open.
You're so sweet. But I just really want to thank you again. Where can you just tell me again where my listeners can find you?
Yes. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at It's Me Joelle C, and that's ItsMeJoelleC as in cat. So yeah, feel free, hit me up. I try to answer pretty much every single DM I get. It may take me a while, but I promise I love interacting with anybody and giving
makeup. Do you answer the mean ones?
The mean ones? No, I actually usually screenshot them and I use them for TikTok posts. You know, I love.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, I do little roasts. Oh, I TikToks love that. Those are the ones that get me hate. Because, yes. You know, people who are bigoted don't want to be called out. But I
love it.
It's
I mean,
fun. The more we call people. If you're having also fun saying hurtful things to me, I'm going to have fun clowning the hurtful thing that you said to me. I mean, that's just what's going to happen.
And I like to say this a lot, to quote Dr. Seuss, those that matter don't mind and those that mind don't matter. Right?
And that's on period.
Yeah.
That is on period, girl. That is spot on. Well, and RuPaul says, if they ain't paying your bills or ain't laying in your bed, don't pay them hoes no mind. That's
oh my God. Thing. I love RuPaul.
Yeah. Oh. Ru's great.
Well, in closing, thank you so much. I think you're amazing. Remember, everyone, be kind. My new close to my show is a quote from my dad. My dad used to say this all the time. Be happy by making other people happy. And Joelle, you're doing that. And I love you. And I'm hoping that this is the start to a budding friendship. And I'm so thankful that you came on.
I echo the same sentiments to you, Megan. Thank you so much. It's been an honor. And for everybody listening, exactly like Megan said, stay nice, be nice, and be that change you want to see, y'all.
Love it.
Hello, did you hear me in the beginning of the show? I hope you heard me because I'm going to tell you about something called Instacart. If you have never heard of Instacart, where have you been living? I mean, where are you living? Are you living under a rock somewhere? It is the most amazing thing I have ever experienced in my life. I'm not lying because I hate Well, I love to shop. Everyone knows I love to shop, but I hate to shop for groceries. Like I said, I don't want to see Brenda or Karen in the grocery store. This way, I can avoid seeing them. I can avoid maybe running in my cart into their carts, maybe accidentally on purpose. And instead, I get everything delivered to my house. Look out my Ring Video doorbell. And if you go to judgingmegan.com/Instacart, you can get free delivery on any order over $35 if you're a first-time user. So I'm not kidding. Go get the app. Go get, do you have an iPhone? Everyone has an iPhone. Get, except my mom. Pat maybe doesn't have an iPhone, but we're working on it. Get out your phone, download Instacart. It's a lifesaver. And again, I don't want to see Brenda, and neither do you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.